Securing your API is absolutely on the same level as worrying about how you make money.
Very good analogy. You know, every door has a handle. So I don't know who wants to design a door without a handle.
We had to create APIs to integrate to the telcos so that you can buy airtime. I think we called it over the air, over the air top up, so that I don't have to get a scratch card.
Remember those scratch card days when you scratch and maybe you over scratch a number?
I think back in the days when my mom used to send me to pay for DSTV, she'll give me a check, then I'll take the cash and go and queue again in the DSTV office.
Yes, multi-choice.
But what happened over time was that because multi-choice had APIs, multi-choice opened up APIs to certain partners, which then made it possible for you to walk into any bank branch.
That was a game changer.
This is the Coronation Podcast.
Hello, everyone. I'm glad to be with you today. My name is Eche Zona Agubata. If that's long for you, you can call me Eche. So today we are having a podcast coming straight from Coronation Merchant Bank. And we'll be talking about APIs. But the aspect of APIs we'll be talking about today will be on API monetization. I'm sure you're already thinking what this is all about, right? To help me dissect these things, you know, I've brought here with us today Princess Edo Osagie.
Etching.
Princess. So Princess is the head of product leadership at Interswitch. She also is responsible for agile governance at Interswitch. If you understand what that means, you know that she is the executor of some sort at Interswitch. Princess, how is that for an introduction?
Yeah, you did well. You did well. So I'm happy to be here. I'm glad to have this conversation with you on APIs and opportunities for people to monetize their APIs.
We're happy to have you as well. In fact, the pleasure is all ours.
You're welcome.
I'm sure your followership will be all excited. By the time they see your face, they'll be like, oh, there's Princess again. And yeah. I'm always seeing you everywhere. Like, if it's not API, it's product, it's, you know, project management and all that. And that speaks a lot about your experience.
Yeah, so I think I've been blessed fundamentally with opportunities to try a lot of things, from product management to software. I tried software development for a while.
Yes.
But it wasn't built for me. I decided to focus my energy on solving problems. I also went deep into site reliability and DevOps and IT operations.
You've actually done everything.
I've done almost everything. So I'm grateful.
Great.
That I've been able to do all that. Thanks to God.
Great. So, right, like I said earlier, this is Coronation Merchant Bank. And some of the things we try to do is to make sure that we bring value to areas where we want to show thought leadership. Coronation is a group that also leverages technology as a strategic partner to their delivery, right? And I'm happy to have someone from Interswitch come to talk with us about it, right? So Princess, right? You started from support, right?
No, I started from product. It wasn't called product management then. It was called program management.
Okay.
So I was doing both understanding customer needs, testing also, and managing when event life. So that's where I started out.
Okay. So no wonder the drive to solve problems.
Yes. I always wanted to do that.
So you've always stood between those that have problems and those that can solve.
Yes.
Just like an API.
Yes.
All right, so let's talk a bit about
it. I should have a joke about that. So my plate number was APP.
What?
A number. And then the last two digits were FW. So my boss used to say, Princess, you know your application and the firewall. You're in between.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, those plate numbers were notorious. I don't know whether they recycled them. Is it a APP at some point, or is there's one Ikorodu, then there's one Badagry BDG.
Yeah.
You know, I think BDG is what's raining now.
Yes.
And then there was FST for first start.
Yes.
But APP, that's quite prophetic for you.
I've seen it.
All right. So anyway, so like we all know, APIs act like agents. I usually refer to them like house agents. You know, if you live in Lagos, you would understand what house agents do for us. They do virtually everything. Whether you're looking for a house, if you're looking for a shop,
yep,
either to own or to rent or to lease, right? So that's basically what APIs do.
Yep.
Right. So they have these sets of value at the back end, you know, that they offer to anybody that just wants it. Right.
Yeah.
And about thinking about it, we have quite a mileage that we have gone through as tech.
Yeah.
Globally. So it would be good for us to even look at the current landscape of the API use cases around the world.
All right. So before I delve into that, I'd just like to define what API means. So sometimes people say APIs, but don't even know what the acronym means.
Yeah.
So API is just simply for application programming interface. My preferred explanation for APIs would be, you know how in a house you have plumbing.
Yeah.
And it brings maybe water from outside into the house.
Correct, correct.
For me, APIs are that thing that allows you to channel stuff from outside into your house.
Mm.
It's not necessarily the door, because door is big and wide. Mm. The pipe is narrow and brings specific things into the house.
Mm.
So for me, that's how I like to call APIs.
Very.
But when you look at the global landscape, I think over time, things first started out, APIs didn't come out for a while.
They were the unsung heroes. There were other ways
to transfer stuff. So if you remember back in the days in the banking industry, there was a lot of file movements across end of day files.
So
files was an option before, but people found a better way to innovate on it. Those other ways still exist, but APIs have been prevalent because it is a lot more easier than moving files across. People developed APIs. In the current industry in Nigeria, what's buzzing now is the APIs that are coming out soon. We have the open banking APIs that it is coming out soon.
Much publicized
open banking APIs. And what it literally does is just help you get access to information. So as Princess, I have access and accounts in different banks. But today I have to download different bank apps to access my account. With such APIs, people can then innovate and aggregate my information into a single app.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I can literally say, if I have the necessary license and documentation, I can build an app for myself, you know, just because I can.
Exactly.
And
I know you
aggregate all bank informations into a single app so that I don't have to hop.
Mm.
And that increase better experience for me. And experience is important nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
So again, these are some of the things you can see.
True.
In terms of APIs. If you look back, I think back in the days when my mom used to send me to pay for DSTV, I would have to leave the house, go to the bank first.
You see a queue.
The journey is long because I have to go to the bank first, withdraw cash, then because she'll give me a check. Then I'll take the cash and go and queue again in the DSTV office.
Yes, multi-choice.
But what happened over time was that because multi-choice had APIs, multi-choice opened up APIs to certain partners, which then made it possible for you to walk into any branch.
That was a game changer.
Regardless of whether you're a customer or not, and make payments across every branch. That then shifted to the web. So a lot of the innovation you see is driven by APIs behind the scenes.
Mm.
But as you mentioned earlier, monetization is part of the things we need to talk about today.
Honestly.
Because we are leaving a lot of money on the table.
We seriously need to talk about it, right? Lovely. So I was just thinking, you know, that without APIs, probably we would not have realized so much value that we have kept under the table.
Yes, we would not have even met, Shay, you know.
We would have even met. That's true. You know, it was our integration at the time.
Yeah.
With InterSwitch, you know, that got us talking, and then look at how far we've come. Right. So even the value of relationship and partnerships and all that. That's great. So I'm just thinking, so looking at how APIs generally can be identified. Right. Because people are unable to identify where their value points are.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's easy as a business model to set yourself up along the lines of your services. Right. But when you think API, you realize that even the components of those services are services in themselves.
Yeah.
So you is not a service. But to another person who wants to leverage what you have as per your component to create a different service, it's a service to that person.
Yes.
And how do you make it available? Through APIs.
Yes, it is.
You understand? So, all right, honestly, I think this is something that is needed by almost every organization, whether as startups or as existing corporates.
Yeah.
Right? And I think we should get into the meat of it.
Yes, let's go.
I always tell people, regardless of how useless you feel the API is, productize it. Even if you don't sell it, even if you don't get money from it, value it as a product.
Yes.
One day, somebody will be willing to pay for it.
Yeah.
Who said yesterday that somebody will pay for the bank's ability to open an account for a customer? People are paying for it. What we give the customer free of charge.
Yes.
Right? Right now, fintechs are paying to be able to open accounts on behalf of their own customers with us.
Yeah.
You understand? So let's look at it, right? So if we talk about productizing now, right, what would you say is a good approach?
So most times the trick is to figure out what someone is willing to pay for, right?
Mm.
There are so many things you can produce today as APIs. So for example, if I said I wanted to create an API to allow users to get the list of banks in Nigeria, that information is readily available on the internet. It's not something I will charge for. So I could create an API and make it free.
Yeah.
But there are certain things that are not easy to come by. So for example, like you mentioned, creating an account. For certain things, you can then charge.
Yeah.
But you always have to spend time to figure out what is the customer willing to pay for it. And what we've seen play out in terms of monetization and pricing for APIs is that you have to figure out which one will create the most value for the customer. You can give certain things free. So in terms of pricing models that we see play out, people charge per call.
Great.
Which is anytime I call
you. There are some tricky pricing models out there.
I will talk about it.
Just finish.
Some people charge 0.01. I'll charge 0.1 naira for every call you make.
Mm.
So if, for example, it's a call to do things like name inquiry, because for every transfer, right, you have to validate the name. For those kinds of APIs, it's easy to monetize because you know that you're going to get many calls for it.
Yeah, sure.
So a lot of people have tried funny things to maybe like cash name so that I don't have to pay that money. So you have pay per call. You have situations where people say, okay, certain calls are free. So you even see it play out in AI today. A lot of the pricing, it's around credits, and that credit is tied to how many prompts you make per day.
Exactly.
Back end, if it was an API, for example, it's literally how many calls you pay to the API. So sometimes they give you a credit of 5 calls free. Then anything above 5 calls, you have to pay for it. So there's that option. So it also depends on the kind of product, because if your product is something that people only use once a month, in terms of an API, and you want to put a price on it, it's a challenge because you would only get a call once a month. Why would I charge for that?
Yeah,
so you also have to put in those dynamics in terms of usage, how often is it used. So we've seen things around tiered pricing. We also see that because some of the services being offered creates value for somebody else behind the scenes.
So you go and get the
money from that person say, because I am creating this capability and opening up and bringing traffic to you, I will get a revenue share for anything that passes through this pipe. So those are some of the things we see at our monetization and prices.
It's a simple scenario, right?
Okay.
You're familiar with YouTube, right?
Yes.
So they come out at the onset, making us feel like those videos are free. And the people are watching, you know, and you just think it's free.
Yeah.
And after a while, once you choose your niche, maybe it's music, maybe it's movies, maybe it's skits, right? Then they, using AI, now begin to introduce little limitations. Either limitations of time, bringing in annoying adverts, all that.
Yes.
Right? But meanwhile, in giving it free, they've brought in the crowd.
Yes.
So it looks like if you are going to watch video elsewhere, you can't refer another person to it.
Yeah.
Right. So since everybody is on now on it,
you suddenly can,
right?
Yes, yes.
And then if you now love a particular area, you don't mind paying, and the pricing is so low and tempting. Once you get in, like they say, once you get in, you can't go back.
Yes, yes.
You know.
It's so intentional.
They give it as free, but at the same time, right, they give you incentive to pay as little as possible. Meanwhile, that is not where they are making the money from.
Mm.
They are making the money from the people that want to be seen, who don't mind being paid to be seen.
Yeah.
You know.
Interesting times.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think we should find a way to adopt that.
Yes, we should.
Yeah. All right. So, I think in terms of productizing, right, sometimes as a corporate, right, or as a business, you might want to pivot, like in the sense you've gone to a particular peak, right, and you're trying to maybe launch a new product.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so that you can get to another high of productivity. So is either you're adjusting your product dynamics, or you're creating a new product altogether, or you're trying to leverage on something that is working already in the society, right? But you don't have the means to do that. However, you have maybe a competitor or someone in another industry that can provide you that additional value, right? And you integrate with an API, and you're able to offer immediately what that industry is already offering. So you have your own service with this other additional service added on top. So it creates an additional value that your customers can, you know, latch onto, right? So for me, that speaks to the power of partnerships. You know, like I always tell people, the tech era now is not the tech era of competition at all. In fact, just the same way Gen Z's have come to show the millennials the way, right? It's the same way tech has come to show business models the way.
For co-creation.
Right? So with the power of co-creation, lots of new realities have come out.
Yep.
Right? Across different industries. In fact, I think we'll speak about it later, right? Because the strength of these partnerships is dependent on how strategic the business model has placed their technology. Yeah. So speaking about partnerships, right, how do you see this play out, you know, from the perspective of API monetization and productization?
Okay, so I personally think that in the future, as things begin to mature, again, and we are seeing it play out now, begin to hear things like API marketplace.
Yes, yeah.
So that's becoming more prevalent now.
That is literally
saying, how do I go somewhere and be able to have access to APIs? The truth is that whoever is driving an API marketplace is not going to build all the APIs.
Yes.
They most likely have a lot of partnerships that they have to create. They may look into the market, see gaps here, and say, let's bring in these partners on so that we can then have a full bouquet of APIs to our customers. So I think partnership is absolutely key in this era, especially because businesses sometimes come in and focus on particular areas, just like Coronation is a merchant bank. You have other types of banks, you have payment companies, you have fintechs, you have telcos. Sometimes you can't do everything yourself. You have to find the right partnerships.
Most times you can't do
Most times you can't do everything yourself.
The earlier you're humble, the better.
So you have to find the right partnerships that would help create that differentiating factor. And you can do that with co-creation fundamentally. And sometimes people say, oh, you know, partnering with other business, they may understand it. They may take
your own business.
after a while. But I think we're in the era where it's important to create co-creation deals that is winning for both parties.
Exactly.
And you've seen that scale up where we can get into a deal and this is so lucrative for both of us. We are not even thinking about, oh, I want to take over your side of it. So I think the world is in that era of co-creation. I remember when we first started out, when you would buy airtime, you have to walk to the lady to buy a scratch card.
I can't remember when last I did that.
I remember early on in my career, it was one of the problems we were trying to solve. So we had to create APIs to integrate to the telcos so that you can buy airtime. I think we called it over the air, OTA.
OTA.
Over the air top up so that I don't have to get a scratch card.
All right.
So these are just opportunities.
Remember those scratch card days when you scratch and maybe you over scratch a number? And you're trying to type it in.
You now be guessing.
Try to guess.
You now say it's coming. Digit. If it's a curve number, then it's 8. Let me try 8 or 3. And you now get your line blocked for no reason. So again, those are some of the things that you see happen over the years in Nigeria, where we said, okay, why don't we get APIs in?
Mm-hmm.
We don't have the capability to be a telco, but there are telcos already.
Exactly.
So we had to aggregate the telcos and integrate the telcos and then make it available to third parties and everybody else, which then drove the airtime sales over the air top-up. So it's one of those examples just to showcase that you don't necessarily have to do everything yourself. Partnerships are key. And co-creation is absolutely key now in this age
Extremely important.
Technology, because you can leverage certain things you don't need to build from scratch.
Yeah. And then, you know, since AI is becoming a thing, right?
We want to put AI in this conversation. We will not finish today.
No, I just want to borrow a part of that, right? AI has been a thing, and, you know, the value of AI is built on the data that is supplying it. How will I put it now?
Training. Data is a training model.
You know, so if you want to delve into another area, why do that hard work? Because apart from getting the technology, how do you generate the data? Do you understand? Why not partner with someone whose economies of scale is in that area?
Exactly.
And then you have your own economies of scale. And then it becomes a sweet marriage, as the case may be, you know.
Yeah.
And it gives you quick entry into the market, gives you lower cost of entry. You don't have to have extra maintenance for the additional services. And then for me, revenue share is one of the sweetest models, right? Where you get instant value, instant returns.
True.
Yeah, and then it also opens you up to industry players in other industries.
Yes.
Right? And also opens you up to development types in other ecosystems.
True.
Do you understand? So a developer in the health industry has his own way of thinking, has leverage, has depth. You in your banking industry will have your own depth. You have somebody in the government, you know, someone in FMCG and all that, you know. So it all brings a good interplay of value.
Yes, it does.
You know, and remember, this value can then be, you know, partitioned into different manners of services.
Yeah.
You know, imagine that Coronation Merchant Bank can offer every service that Dangote offers.
Imagine that.
No, just imagine that. I'll put a pen on that. Eh? But before we go there, let's talk about security. So yes, APIs open up our systems or our services, you know, to the public or to selected corporates, right? But how do you manage that democracy democracy of openness?
How open
with security
should you be? Degrees of openness. Yeah. The analogy I like to use here is, you know how in your house you have a window?
Mm-hmm.
Let's say you're living in a bungalow. You're not living upstairs. You're living in a bungalow. You have a window.
Yeah.
Window can just be a window. You can put a net on it to remove mosquitoes from coming in
and
creepy crawlies. You can put a burglary proof so that if someone tears the net, they still can't enter. So security is literally that. And because you're opening up a part of yourself externally, you need to make sure you have the mosquito net, the burglary proof, so many things in place. Because the world is not smiling. There are a lot of bad actors out there.
Oh, yes, sir.
You need to make sure you protect yourself. So while creating APIs are fun and exciting, and you can monetize it, you also need to pay attention. The same way you're excited about money, you need to think about security on that same level too.
Very true.
It then means that you need to get your team, your technology team, to focus on security. You have situations where bad actors sometimes don't even want to steal anything from you. They just want to make sure your service is not available to somebody else.
Exactly.
So situations where they will send a million of calls to your site to take it down just because they can. So there are things you can do.
They're not there to hurt you. They're just there to stop you.
Disrupt you, yes. So there are things you can do around rate limiting the number of times a particular endpoint can be called by a particular person. Mm-hmm. There are things you can do. Basic things around, if I'm giving my API to you, the same way I give my house key to you, I can give you a username and password to make sure that you are coming and I gave
and
you the key.
From the right place.
And from the right place. Yeah, so there are a lot of things you can do, but let's not go too deep into tech stuff.
Yeah.
But securing your API is absolutely on the same level as worrying about how you make money. It's also on the same level as securing your APIs.
Right.
So it's not something you do after you've built it. As you're thinking about your APIs, you need to make sure upfront, you're asking yourself, how do I design my APIs to be secure? How do I ensure it is not intruded by others? There are so many tools out there that help with this. So for me, that's where you should start from.
Yeah. Very good analogy. You know, every door has a handle. So I don't know who wants to design a door without a handle.
You know, these days, people can talk to the door, so you never know. I say, open sesame.
Exactly.
So voice authentication.
Honestly, there's no way. Since APIs give open access, right, it's our responsibility really to have some form of governance to those that come through that door.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And you also need to assess what you want to open up.
Yeah.
It's not everything you, want to open up. So please don't go out.
Your visitor comes to the house.
You now
you just want him to have access to the parlor. And then you just
fantastic
go to sleep.
Analogy.
And then before you know what is happening, the guy is in the kitchen.
Kitchen is even nice. In your bedroom, sleeping on the bed.
Wow.
So be careful.
True. I had that scenario.
Wow.
When I was small. There was one of our neighbors, right? Just screamed all of a sudden. I was like, I was going on, everybody gathered. By that time, the actor had already left. So the man was saying that he found someone. Stranger completely.
Wow.
Who was in his dining eating food that was in the kitchen. So apparently it was someone from the street, came around, saw the door open, he entered. And from the back door, you know, most people, the kitchen is...
Yes.
Come through the back door, you see the kitchen. So he got there, saw already prepared food, oozing, you know, sweet aroma. The guy got it. He did not just carry the food out.
He dished it and went to sit in the So you see, guys, don't leave your back door open. Make sure your APIs are secure.
No door should just be open like that.
Yeah.
Yes, tell everybody you have a door, right? But you should be sure about
they have the right keys
and what they have access to. Okay, so we have a very interesting case study. Like I said, to really have value from this API ecosystem.
Yeah.
Both parties on both ends of the API need to be technologically mature, right? So as industries get mature technologically, the values within the industry can then be extended, right? You can leverage technology to blow out the opportunities or the income that you can get from your value streams, right? So our case study today is Dangote.
Okay.
Right. So we have, like, Merchant Bank, we're a bit different or unique from the commercial banks. I don't know if you know that.
Yes, I do.
So we deal with certain corporates of a particular band, all right? And we deal with the top tier in each industry, all right? So Dangote falls, of course, top tier in the industries that they play in, right? Whether it's the cement building industry or the petroleum industry or the fertilizer and agricultural industry.
Yeah.
Either. So Dangote is one of our very good customers, right? And we are glad to see that they've stepped up their game in terms of technology adoption. Right. So recently they floated their what they call ISOP. It's a suite of APIs that opens up their services and their products, you know, to anyone out there, whether they are distributors or retailers, as the case might be.
Can individuals buy?
Well, I don't know, but you can pay And that's what you'll be aware. You take the code to their depot, they will give you the products.
Oh, nice.
Right. So what we basically did was integrate with their system. So what most industries have is simply production lines, machines doing stuff, right? But at some point, you need to have APIs to be able to sense the products that they have available. And you also need to have APIs to make them aware someone has paid for a service. You understand? So they've come of that age, right? So rather than distributors going to banks to fill up one slip, you know, and then paying directly into their account manually, right? The bank has set up a proper integration with their technology team, right? Using the ISOB suite of APIs, right? So right now, any of our customers, in fact, not just our customers, walk-in customers, meaning prospective customers, right?
Yeah.
Can just come in and pay for cement, fertilizer. We're hoping to get petroleum on board, but I guess maybe Dangote still wants to fine-tune whatever is happening in that industry. We don't know yet, but
I can imagine.
It will get stable with time. All right. So you can pay for any of those products on our platform today, right?
Yeah.
And once the payment is made, we inform Dangote through their APIs, right? And Dangote then sends back an acknowledgement in the form of a barcode, right? And then the person that paid takes that barcode to the Dangote depot.
Pick up their goods without stress.
Yeah. You don't need to prove that you are who you are. That code is just proof of your payment. And
wow.
You go with your goods.
Wow. I can imagine the impact that has had, because you have Dangote Industries that is here. They have a large distribution network. And every day across Nigeria, people need to build stuff, whether it's cement you need to buy and all the different goods around all that. So you can imagine if this wasn't there, the amount of effort is, oh, go and pay to this bank. Then somebody will call them and say, we've paid, they'll check.
Exactly.
Did you see the payment before they now give you another receipt?
That did you see the payment is a huge, it's a huge problem.
But literally in under 5 minutes from paying, gets notified, you get your receipt in 5 minutes. That is a marvelous thing.
I'm telling you. And
absolutely
it's
marvelous.
Really giving us a lot of mileage. Our customers are smiling. And a number of customers that are like Dangote, whose technology units are now strategic in terms of role to their business,
are beginning to open it up.
If they're calling in for direct integrations,
wow, nice.
With them, and it's really giving us good inroads, right? But beyond that, you know, we spoke about partnerships earlier on, right? So part of the things we have done is to also integrate with switches like yours, NIPS, right? Because the essence of switches is that they connect to all the multiple merchants that are out there, whether banked by the bank or not, right? Because we know our customers at one point or the other may need services from some corporates who don't currently bank with us.
Yeah.
You understand? So we integrate with the switches, right? And then we are able to tell our customers, you can pay for any service you want, right? So that's what has informed some of our recent integrations with InterSwitch, with NIBS, with Unified Payments, Remita, and the likes, right? So that's helped us. And then we're doing some form of revenue share. So, you know, like we said earlier, it's co-creation, right?
Yeah.
And our customers are happy. Virtually anything they ask for, they should be able to pay for on our platform.
Interesting times.
Yeah, really. Really interesting times.
A lot of the efforts in technology had been in finance and banking. That's why I see a lot of investment in fintechs. But there are so many other things we can do beyond finance. I think the energy industry is also there.
Yeah.
Things are beginning to wake up and warm up across the world.
Correct.
So the world is becoming fun.
If football has started from Nigeria, maybe it will not be as lucrative as it is now. You know why?
Why?
Because our people are instant. We like to see instant value.
Yes, we do.
So if you look at a football, right?
Yeah.
Just looking at it.
You won't imagine.
Can you imagine such value that have come out of
nobody
a round header that they put air inside?
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
11 people running around. struggling to put it inside one post. And it's generating so much money.
Yeah, I know.
Not just money from people that are coming to watch. Money from people that want to look like those that are playing. Money
fan
from
club.
Yes. Money from people that want to look like they are the ones playing. Money from people that want to look like they are the coach. Do you understand?
What are the agents?
It's just so massive.
Yeah.
So massive.
Yeah.
Right. Just looking at it, pump and plain, you see that a lot of value can be gotten. And for me, it only teaches us that there is much more value in what we have currently than what we have gotten from what we have.
Yeah, there is.
You know, there are lots of scenarios.
Yes.
So let's look at this table, for instance. Right? Mm-hmm. Somebody needs this table. Another person can make table in different shapes. So the person just needs wood.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Another person, his own problem is that he doesn't have network of logistics.
Yeah.
He just needs logistics to be able to. Another person, his own problem is he needs a unique type of gum. He does not want to use nail on his furniture.
Yeah.
Do you understand?
It.
Just from this table alone.
Yeah.
So much value can be derived.
Yeah.
So much. Meanwhile, the person that produced this table is busy thinking, until I make this table, before I can have value. So when we just backtrack from that and look at whatever we offer as a service, we realize that even the components to that service is a lot more. And that's what APIs help us to do.
Yeah.
Those things that we just see as normal, as part of what we used to create. APIs make it available to others that can use it to create more things. Yeah. Okay, so speaking about APIs, let me talk a bit about Coronation Merchant Bank.
Yes, please.
Right. One of the distinguishing factors, right, between merchant banks and the traditional commercial banks is the freedom we have to raise funds.
Okay.
Right. And be able to provide corporates that need these funds. You understand? So we sort of are like the API. Do you understand? We are like API. We are providing funds.
The interface.
Yeah, we're providing funds from those that have
to those that need.
To those that need, right? But the traditional commercial banks focus on loans, right? To give to those that need the money. Meanwhile, those that give you the money in the form of deposits have no clue that you are using their money to give somebody else at a cost, right?
Yeah.
And then the difference between the cost and this other side is what the bank is making.
Yeah.
Right? So, but for merchant banks, we are focused on also bringing value
to the customers.
To the customers, right? Both to those that have and then those that don't have.
Yeah.
Right? Case in point, right? Most corporates or individuals can come seeking for loans to finance certain projects. What we do, we can blow that out, right? You don't necessarily need to have a loan, right? You could come up and float a commercial paper, right? Commercial papers like crowdfunding, okay? In Gen Z terms, commercial paper is like crowdfunding, all right? But it's more structured because it's well regulated. I mean, it's not just any company
body that can come
that
in
can raise commercial papers because it's also built on trust.
I can imagine.
Right? Exactly. So they have rating agencies that rate the corporate governance around these companies, also look at their financials and all that. And then as a bank, we're also choosy about the kind of corporates, commercial papers we make available to our investors.
Yeah.
Right? Because one failure can mean a lot. And trust is one of our core values
that is important to protect.
Exactly. So imagine, instead of just keeping your money with us, we are telling you, instead of keeping this money idle, you can get this commercial paper from this blue chip company. They want to use this money for, let's say, some short-term operational needs, or they want to use it to expand a part of their operations, as the case may be. So even as an investor, you feel an additional value to the use of your money beyond just the what comes back to you. You're like, you're a contributor to what happened.
You're creating value
somewhere. In this organization. And then for the corporate themselves, they are not they are also being disciplined about how they use the funds.
Definitely.
Knowing that there's public trust,
yeah.
you know, at stake
yes,
here.
You
understand?
Absolutely.
You
know?
And then there are also other things that we do, right? Like mergers and acquisitions, right? These are things that are not open for a normal commercial bank, right? So these are some of the areas that give us that unique touch for both our corporate clients and our investors.
Thank you so much. I've learned so much from you just talking like this. So I have a merchant banking 101 now.
Oh, no. So go and spread the gospel, right?
Yeah, I will.
All right. I think the important thing really is for us to be able to see that we can learn, even as non-tech people, from what APIs have done in the tech industry.
Yeah.
Right? And then to also encourage corporates out there who may not be having technology currently in a strategic role.
Mm-hmm.
Some corporates wish for what technology can do for them,
mm-hmm.
but they treat technology as an operational role.
Yes.
And not strategic.
And I think why that is the case is that, you know how IT started?
Yeah.
You had a room somewhere.
Laptop support.
Yes. So I think because people sometimes see it as that, which is just some guys in a room pressing a laptop.
Yeah.
And my laptop is not working. IT, come and fix it. So people need to realize that because of how the world has shifted.
Yeah.
And just to paint the picture a bit. Early on, when we started out, the internet was available, but it wasn't so fast.
Yeah.
Which then meant a lot of the work that we did in the industry, we focused on local data centers here, which means access to technology, access to storage, compute was pretty high. The barrier to entry was high.
Very high.
As the cost of compute became cheaper, as companies began to innovate and create the cloud, it then meant that anybody could suddenly create anything
exactly.
because you had access to cloud,
true,
cheaper compute.
True.
So IT then began to evolve from that guy in a room with a laptop to this broad big thing of providing technology that enables. So for me, I think technology is an enabler.
Yeah.
And every industry, not just finance, every industry in this age of technology and information needs to sit down and figure out how can I leverage technology as an enabler to improve my services. What can I open up? How can I create extra value? Because it's not just about opening up. Imagine Dangote, for example, in the case study you gave, previously before that, how would all these interactions happen? Suddenly you have reach across Nigeria. As you were talking, my head was already thinking, Dangote is in other countries.
Exactly.
How do you enable Dangote to accept collections
from
beyond just Nigeria? There are just so many things you can do. Reach is better, is wider, distribution is higher. So we should do a lot more beyond just fintech and finance and enable other industries to thrive with technology an enabler.
For sure.
Again, focusing on solving problems.
For sure. Talking about the use cases, right?
Okay.
What application of APIs would you say has been the most impactful in the country right now?
That's a tough question. 1 second. I think for me it would be payments. And here's why. So growing up as an only child,
good choice.
I had to do a lot of stuff for my mom. And I'd be the one to go to the bank, I'd be the one to pay different things. I always had to go to the bank and it was always stressful. Some days my after school is spent doing all those things.
Yeah.
And you queue in the bank.
You enter queue.
You
in
not
the bank,
get there.
Enter queue at multiple
too many things. So for me, being able to see how payments has evolved from that to where it is now, where I can sit down on my phone and be able to purchase anything anywhere in the world, not just in Nigeria, is mind blowing. My second on the list is transfers. When we crack cross border transfers, then it will come up next.
We have tried as a country.
We've tried.
Have cracked cross-border completely.
Well, we've tried.
But if you were there those days, in fact, if our grandfathers see what is happening now,
they'll be shocked.
They'll be worshipping the transfer system. You know, back in the days where they said they share yam for rice. So let's say one village does yam. Another one does rice or beans.
Mm-hmm.
You want rice. There's no money. You sacrifice your yam to get what you want. Do you understand? You know. But for me, the most fascinating, if you remember during the cashless, there was no cashless policy just before the last elections.
Yes, remember?
It was so bad that when you transfer for some banks, they said, when you do a transfer, that even if you trekked from where you are to where the person you are transferring to is, the transfer will still be on the way. You will eat food, sleep there. The next day you wake up, the transfer.
That was a very tough time.
One is an analogy, but there's one that really happened live.
Wow.
Right? The early days of internet banking.
Mm-hmm.
Customer logs on, he thinks he has made a request, transfer from my account to this customer, right? But meanwhile, at the back end, literally, there are staff that will print out the request, run to the branch teller, give them the paper, they do the transfer, and then they come back and update the platform.
To successful. As you said, I just remembered.
That happened like before my eyes. I saw it. I was like, what?
Yeah, one of my first jobs then when I moved to Lagos was that part of my job was to go to the different merchants that we had acquired and given POSs to.
Mm.
To download the end of day so that we can do reconciliation and clearing.
Exactly.
As I see what's happening now with real-time payments on POS, it's just so... When you look back, you just laugh. I'm like, we suffered, Sha.
You know, I think this generation should just be happy because there are some things you can't just imagine.
Yeah.
It's beyond... Like people that are still working post-COVID, just the same way they don't understand...
Coming
to work 5 times a week and sometimes...
Weekends,
they can't fathom it.
I know.
It's the same way the future generation will be like, was there a world where there was no power supply?
Can imagine.
Was there a world where there's no data on internet?
And with AI coming.
When you buy a device, right? When you buy a device, the money you spent on the device is worth the investment because it does everything. You don't need internet. You play game, is on the device.
Yeah.
Anything I do is on the device.
Yeah.
But now, you buy a device, regardless of all the APIs that it may have.
You need to buy data.
If it does not have internet, it's not doing anything.
Yeah, yeah. I think our generation was blessed with being in that zone where a lot of things were transitioning from X to Y.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is absolutely nice to be a part of, but the future is so bright.
It's bright.
When
it's
I see bright. What I can do with AI now, I'm excited.
And I'm very glad to be a part of that future. Honestly, I'm glad I'm a part of that future.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
thank you, Ache.
Thank you, Princess.
Happy
amazing
to be here.
Having you here. I hope we get to see you on another episode. Thanks, everyone. Like I said, this Coronation Merchant Bank, there are a lot of things we've spoken about, and I'm sure some corporates or some individuals might be interested in some of the things we've spoken about. If you are interested as a corporate to transform your technology, right, from an operational role to a more strategic role so as to deliver more value than you're currently having, right? Or you're a corporate that is seeking advisory around mergers or acquisition. Either you want to merge or you want to acquire another company in order to expand your reach, right? Or you have special projects within your company that you'd like to have financed, right, through any of the products we spoke about earlier on. Please just contact us through the contact details that are on your screen right now. Once again, it's amazing having you. Thank you so much. We hope to see you soon.
This is the Coronation Podcast.